This is take two. It's Monday, July 30th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, show number 786, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our July special is almost over. Get.coms for just $4.95. Purchase up to three domains. Use code 495. This code ends July 31st at midnight. Get it now. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, you know what comes next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. This is take two. Started the show, got about 3 minutes into it, and the video recording crashed. That is only like the second time ever that has happened. But the show went explicit for about 2 minutes after the little downtime. So we're going to try this again. Everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to, of course, get over to Geek News Central. Check out all the great content. We've got a great bevy of writers over there that put out a fantastic amount of content on a daily basis. They're blogging about tech, science, news, information, the Olympics, you name it, we've got it. And of course, definitely check out all the shows on the website as well. We've got Gadget Professor. We've got Saturday Morning Tech, which was solo this past Saturday. We have Robot Underpants. We've got special media events. We've got, of course, this show, which is produced every Monday and Thursday night. You'll find a place there to subscribe to the show and also to get signed up for the newsletter. And that way you'll get all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. Don't forget that gncshownotes.com is the place we drop all the show notes for the show. And you can get over there and find all the links to everything I'm going to be talking about here in just a few short minutes. Well, I tell you, we've had just an amazing weekend here. I'll get into that here in a little bit. Talk about some updates that we've made. Talk about some new live streaming stuff. But first and foremost, as always, you can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. And our hotline, which has been updated, is available for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. Hey, I want to just say here, thanks to all of our sponsors for the month of July and all of you also that have come in as insiders. It is greatly appreciated. And we're doing everything we can here to grow the show, build the audience, build a support base for the show. And it's really without the sponsors and the insiders, that would not be possible. So I want to thank all of you for your contributions and your support and being an insider. And what I'm trying to do is I talked with a buddy of mine today. Matter of fact, he's a fan of the show, lives here in Hawaii. He's getting ready to make a life-altering decision on a change of pace and some things he's doing. So I say good luck with him on that. But him and I were talking about the whole insider system and saying, what can we do? What can I do to set up? Because you know what I tried to do in the beginning of the insider thing was to give you guys that insider information about me, family, and stuff like that. And it just, you know, the vibe wasn't there, and I was never able to do that on a more consistent basis. So for those of you that are insiders, what do you guys think would make a special treat for you that I could do on a regular basis, something to make your contribution to the show just a little itsy bit better and give you that additional added value? I'd love to hear your feedback on that. And of course, you can email me privately if you want or drop a just basically call into the hotline and let me know if it's for the show or just some insights. I definitely appreciate it. But you know, our sponsors continue to make sure we keep the lights on here. And of course, I got a great deal that's ending. Now, if you're listening to the show on after August 1st, it's too late. So we got this GoDaddy deal, this .com. Basically, you get three .coms at $4.95 each. Then after that, they're $7.99 per year, which is the normal price. But you're going to be able to get, again, right now until basically midnight on the 31st, and that's probably Central Standard Time. You're going to get those .coms at $4.95. Now, I got a new deal for you. Tell you about that here in a second. But don't forget, you can come over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. And this is going to have a link to all of our codes, all the current ones and all the specials. So, you know, I've got savings of cash off on certain amounts spent. I have .com renewals, new .coms. I've got basically percentages off again. And what we're going to be offering in August, now this is a deal. This is a special offer for all customers, okay? So what you're going to do is you're going to be able to save 20%. This is a huge deal. You're going to be able to save 20% on your order, okay? Now, I'm being told there's no limitations on this. So if you go out and purchase $100 worth of stuff, you get 20% off. It produces $200. You get 20% off, and you're going to use the promo code GO20OFF2. So GO20OFF2 and get that 20% off on your order. This is a fantastic buy. Our good friends over there at GoDaddy, thank you to them for being a sponsor here. And of course, again, don't forget to go over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy to check all those promo codes out. It's making me nervous. I'm looking at the TriCaster because So what was causing the issue tonight on it going haywire and caused me to restart the show. So far we're good. Hey, so let me talk a little bit here about, you guys look at the Ohanosaurus. I got a new graphic today and I know you guys can't see it super. Let's see if I can change the view. That's not much better. I need to be able to zoom in, but our Ohanosaurus now, he has got some typical geek glassware, and he's got the traditional geek tape for his nose, and he's missing one side of his glasses, and it looks like he's hodgepodge the other piece together. So our geek dinosaur back there for our Ohanosaurus, and those of you that don't know what the Ohanosaurus is, that is where when I do my Saturday morning tech show, and we actually have guests on board. They come in and basically video in on Skype, and we have them up on the big board back there on the Ohanosaurus. But so thanks, Sam, for sending it over. You know, I was having a rough morning, and that email came in, and I laughed, and it brightened my day up. So it perfect timing, my friend. And thanks for being a true Ohana member here of the show. I've also gotten a number of emails from people asking me to do phone consultations with them. So here's the skinny. I am absolutely crushed for time. Time is really my enemy at this point because I just do not have enough hours in the day. So some people say, can I call you and talk to you for 30 minutes? It's, you know, call you late, whatever. But really, if you want to spend some time and get quality time with me, I'm willing to do some consulting calls with you. My fees are relatively inexpensive. I don't charge a lot for podcaster to podcaster calls. But I really do have to charge for my time. It's a critical point, and basically being able to make sure that, number one, that you understand my time is valuable and so forth. So if you want to do some consulting one-on-one, it's, I'd be happy to do that. If you send emails to the show, I'm happy to answer those questions at the end of the show as well. So feel free to fire questions, and that's basically free consulting at the end of the podcast. Hey, one thing I did have done here is you guys know that when we upgraded this system here with the Ohanosaurus, those of you that are listening, it's the system that we used again for Skype, that we upgraded it with two Mac Minis. And basically what was in there before was two Windows XP machines based upon Leo Laporte Twit's setup that he initially did a number of years ago. And that had gotten a little long in the tooth from a support standpoint. The computers were acting funny and I was having trouble with audio. So we upgraded to two Mac Minis, and what was left was right down here was a laptop that was doing the secondary stream, And as of today, that is gone. And we've got a third Mac Mini now up underneath here that is basically doing the secondary live video stream. Now, I'm waiting on a piece of gear to come from B&H, and I'll talk about that in a second. But what that machine is doubling as is it doubles as the audio streamer. And I got it set up and working fine for doing the regular, how should I say it, rebroadcast of the show. So if you come over to geeknewscentral.com, and if you'll notice on the website, there is a, right underneath the play button, there's live 24/7 streaming audio. And it's, I apologize, it's not up now for those of you watching live. But, you know, the audio stream is where you can catch the show as well in replay on the website. So you just look underneath the play button on the second column of the website and you'll find that. But it's acting as my basically full-time streamer for the audio. Then it also secondary as a video pusher. So really what I needed to be able to do is get that so we could get HD video into it so that I'm basically complete HD and I'm no longer pushing any SD video per se in the studio, except the only thing that'll be SD video is going back to the folks that are actually on Skype. We're not going to feed the HD back to them. But this is really what I think is going to, I'm hoping the last hurrah for the studio for at least a number of years. And I got everything upgraded and basically downsized. I put a little post up on Geek News Central. You can check it out. But the folks over at Blackmagic, they ought to be taking me to dinner for as much money as I've spent with them this year and their little converters. And they do great stuff. HDMI to SDI, SDI to HDMI, come out and go HDMI to, you know, it's just, and they're all about $300 a piece. So the one I had to buy to feed the new Mac Mini was $495. So that one was a little, taking a shot me to the heart here, but hopefully that's it. And all this stuff can go with the portable system as well, which is cool. Hey, what we're going to do now is we're going to do something special. I've never done this. At least I don't remember doing so. If we haven't done it in years, it's just, I don't remember. So what I'm going to do between now and the next show, caller number 10 to the show hotline, caller number 10 to the show hotline, and leaves an intelligent comment about the show, something that makes sense, something that is not, you know, it's calling, you leave something positive, negative, blast me, whatever way, not just, hey, Todd, I'm calling in, just, you know, give me 30 seconds worth of your thoughts. But caller number 10 is going to win a cool prize on the next show. So the hotline is 619-342-7365. So this is really going to be advantageous to the early birds. They pick up the phone and make the call. And we'll see how long it takes to get to caller number 10. I'm predicting by about the time the show's published, that'll already be done. But caller number 10 is going to win a cool prize on the next show. So apologize on Saturday morning tech being solo this past Saturday. Just the stars aligned and everyone was busy between family reunions and summer and everything else. So they had a solo show. And so anyway, it is what it is. Hey, but I do want to let you guys know on something big. I got the word back today. Been talking with the CEA folks, negotiating back and forth for our live spot that we're going to have for our live broadcast studio at CES 2013. And it looks like now we are going to have our broadcast studio outside the North Hall. Now, that doesn't mean outside in the open air, but we're going to be in the actual hallway outside North Hall. This is absolutely tremendous. It's a fantastic location, lots of foot traffic. We're in the very innovative side where we're going to be close to where we found most of the innovative stuff last year. I can't be happier with the location. I think you guys are going to be excited. You know, it's one of those things where you kind of have to negotiate your way into different positions. It raises a whole new level of logistics concerns and security and that type of stuff. But really, I'm totally jazzed, and I think we're going to have a great location. And we're really almost complete polar opposite areas from where we were the last couple of years, which is cool. Change is good. And I think we're in a really fantastic spot. So that came in this afternoon. I let the TPN guys know, let the CES crew know as well. But anyway, that's where that is head into when we get into that time of year later in the fall. And we'll talk about that more as time goes on. But I do want to take a second here and just remind you guys, you know, it's summer and hot, sweaty, people are out and about. You know, it seems like everyone's on a different schedule. You know, you call someone, oh, I'm Tony's on vacation and blah, blah, blah. And you have a hard time getting through to anyone. So with the shorter days and everything else, working remotely is really kind of the trend right now. So meeting with clients and colleagues in person can be nearly impossible. And that's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Now, it lets you meet face-to-face. And this is something that's fantastic. You don't have to be at the office. You can be at home. You can actually use your iPad or your Android to meet. And with GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes, again, just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in a group HD video. You can see your attendees eye-to-eye, again, while collaborating on documents in real time. You feel instantly connected, even if you're really thousands. That's the way it is here. I'm here in Honolulu, and sometimes I'm meeting with people in New York. And, you know, GoToMeeting's easy to use. And it's just, I mean, it's beyond basic. So iPad users, but at the same time, don't get me wrong, it's a very powerful tool. It's got all kinds of drawing tools. You can record the session, lots of cool features. But iPad users, just download the free GoToMeeting app to join. And again, I tell you about, I use this application almost religiously on a daily basis. So as a listener of this show, all you got to do is, this is easy peasy, okay? Go to GoToMeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and use the promo code podcast. Be sure to use that promo code podcast. Definitely try it out. Get that free 30-day trial. I'm going to tell you, once you start using it, instead of having to go run across town and get in your hot car and go meet with someone, you're like, hey, why don't we just stay in our air-conditioned spaces and do this thing and we'll have a meeting. And you can see each other. So it's kind of cool. Now, it's funny, on Saturday when Jeffrey and I did our roundtable, you know, I had much sleep Friday night. So Saturday morning, I woke up at 5. And did the Saturday morning tech show. Then shortly after, I text Jeffrey and said, are you ready to do the round table? And he said, yeah. So he got on and started doing doing his portion of the thing and switched over, and he was being the host. And I actually did like a quick touch and go, and I heard him chuckle, on the speaker, and he kind of, you know, straightened up. No one else could, you know, it was just him and I could see each other. And he said, dude, he said, I saw you doze off there for a second. I was like, yeah, sorry. But it was like, just, you know, it was one of those micro sleeps. But he saw me, you know, that was the funny part. And he giggled. But you can't get away when you're face to face. You got to be on your A game or you're going to end up making a fool of yourself, which I nearly did. Luckily, we weren't like showing our, you know, basically had our screen showing for actually showing our faces, or people would have been like, ah. So, and his topic was good. It's just that I was like, had this much sleep the night before. Enough of this. Let's get into the tech. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Boy, I've talked a long time. We've got a lot to go through tonight. And there is a huge amount of news. So, are you guys ready? Are you guys ready for the Curiosity landing? I can't wait. And I'm actually looking, see, I'm looking at the calendar here. And this is going to happen at, let's look at the time. Now, the Curiosity Mars Science Lab is designated to set the rover down on Mars at 1:31 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, early on August 6th. So let me bring up the L calendar here. So August 6th is, let's look here. Let me flip the calendar. August 6th is next Monday. So that would be Sunday night, Monday morning. And so at 1:30 in the morning on Sunday, the 5th, will be, let's see here, by 7:30 to 1:30. So what I think I'm going to do is next Sunday night, the 5th, I'm going to do a live hangout, and all of you guys that want to join the hangout. We're just going to make it an open hangout on Google Plus. You guys can come hang out and we can all basically experience the landing together. So what I'll plan on doing is I will start a hangout probably at about, boy, this thing is, I'm sure the excitement is going to start at about at least an hour beforehand. So I'll get the kind of the times locked down. We'll talk about it on the next show, but we can kind of have fun together on Sunday evening. Those of you that are on the East Coast, you're going to want to stay up for this. This is like a big deal for us geeks. This is either going to be 7 minutes of woohoo, it happened, or 7 minutes of, oh, it splatted. One of the two. That's what's going to happen. So, well, they did a course adjustment today. So, we will see where this goes. But they again did one course correction, and I think they're on target to bring this bad boy down. And you know, there's lots of articles. It's already been talking about this 7 minutes of terror. And I'm not going to go into that again. I'll have two articles up in the show notes tonight, one from Universe Today and one from the BBC that goes into the full details of this event. So I have the link up in the show notes for you. Now, you guys remember I've told this story a number of times. And for those of you that have not been with the show for a while, let me tell you a little story that happened, 8 years and some months ago. My wife and I had two children at the time. We had not been planning to have any more children. It was one of those discussions where my wife said, honey, I think maybe we're expecting. And I had went to a, or she, I can't remember now if it was her or I, but we'd went to buy a pregnancy test kit. And I know that we bought it when I was still active duty. It was in the Navy Exchange. I know we bought it at the basically on-base mini-mart. And to this day, I can't remember if we paid cash or not. I'm assuming we did. We paid cash for it. And again, that we, those of you that have listened to the show a number of years will remember this story. But anyway, so we, you know, got the pregnancy test kit. She came home and we did the test, and yes, it was positive, and very happy about that. So she went to, a couple days later, she went to Tripler Medical Center, which is an Army facility, had the official test done there, got the prescription for neonatal vitamins, the whole nine yards, everything that you do when you're, you know, first know that you're pregnant, and basically getting on that regimen of making sure that the fetus is being taken care of, and mom too, you know, with all these extra vitamins. And it wasn't a week from the time that we bought that pregnancy test kit till we got in the mail from Parenting Magazine, congratulations, Cochran family, expecting a new, something that was basically blown me away that we would get this in the mail when we really, I don't think I had told my parents yet. We had been, you know, it was still internal to who knew was our doctor, the pharmacy, and I don't know how they could have figured it out at the place where we bought the pregnancy test kits. I'm pretty sure we paid cash. So, you know, I immediately went on this rampage of who sold our information to Parenting Magazine. Well, today in the New York Times, there's an incredible, now you guys already know about this, right? Because I've told you about this in the past. There's an incredible story about how companies learn your secrets. And this is something you have to read. If you don't believe what I've been telling you all these years, there's a gentleman who started working as a statistician at Target in 2002. And he, basically what they started to notice in their marketing department was they wanted to figure out when a customer was pregnant. And basically what they did is they started looking at buying habits of their customers. Now, when a customer buys something at Target, their credit card that they use, even if they use a different credit card, you are given a, basically they assign a customer ID to you and they track everything that you buy. All right. So they started seeing trends of what women would buy when they were expecting, the neonatal vitamins, maybe a pregnancy test kit, there was this list of things that women did in specific time frames of each trimester and getting ready. And there was the, you know, the nesting stage, almost when the baby's getting ready to come, when they're buying, you know, the final moment stuff. You're getting the diapers, you're, you know, you're getting everything you need to bring baby home, and, you know, all that stuff. They have been able to come up with a formula to use to find out when their customers are pregnant. And they're, of course, not saying they are. So they've gotten so good at this, is what they've been doing is they start sending out coupons to expecting moms. Now, they don't do it in a way that kind of like says congratulations, but they send a series of coupons that, you know, has specific items in there that you would buy if you were pregnant. And so what ended up happening recently is they sent one of these coupon packets to a teenage gal, and the father got the coupon and saw it and says, "What is this?" So he went to his local Target store and just started screaming at the clerk, "Why are you sending my teenage daughter stuff for pregnancy and for having babies? Are you trying to encourage something here?" Well, it turns out that they basically knew, and the father didn't. And upon more discussion with the father and his daughter, he found out she was pregnant and was quite a ways along. So they know all this stuff. And they talk about the type of lotion women are buying, stuff with no scent, because, you know, at certain stages, the scent of stuff really drives pregnant women crazy, and the types of lotions they're buying and so forth. So this is the deal here. They know us very, very well. And it doesn't matter what we do today anymore. These stores are going to know more about us, as Google does, than probably our spouses, our girlfriends, our kids. You know, they're going to know how we, what we're buying, what our habits are. And, you know, if all this data is tied together, it's got to make all of us a little bit nervous. And, you know, if Target's doing this, then everyone is doing this. All the big chains have to be, right? And does it bother you? Does it make you guys nervous that companies are learning your secrets? And, you know, this Andrew Pohl, I talked about at the beginning of this article, he's the guy that basically is figuring all this stuff up purely by buying habits. Now, I'll be honest with you, I haven't shopped in Target in, well, my wife has once in a while. I think I bought one thing in there in the last year. I was in Costco the other day and picked up a couple of things. They're going to know I love cashews, because when I go to Costco, that's what I come home with, because my wife won't buy them. But when I'm there, I splurge. So, you know, it's one of those things that they, based on who's coming to the store, they know what we want. And at some point, they're going to start probably sending us all unique coupon sets, encourage us to spend more money. But, you know, there's really right now in the space, really five super critical privacy points that I want to talk about. You know, obviously, you do something wrong on the internet today and you say something you're not supposed to, it's hard to say what Uncle Sam's going to do. You know, you public putting stuff out in the public domain. You know, they've got, I'm sure they have their own little search engines that are searching for stuff. And, you know, watchful eye of Uncle Sam could start upon you at some point. PC World goes into this. They even suggest that they could be creating a file on you. Ebooks. They know what kind of a reader you are, what you like. Well, I buy science fiction. I buy fantasy. I buy books on leaders of companies. I read a lot about, you know, basic Web 2.0 type stuff. So people know what type of stuff I like to read. We already talked about online retailers, knowing what we like, what we do, what's going on with us. And even worse is the wire contactless carriers. You know, they're selling our user for huge money. You know, they've been extracting more money out of subscribers than anyone else. And, you know, in AT&T, just one of the participating carriers reportedly received $8.2 million in 2011 for providing feedback on things we're doing on our phones. And there's stuff that you can do to opt out as well. But, you know, debt collectors, if you got a debt sitting out there somewhere, debt collectors are turning to Facebook to find you and track you down. So there's all kinds of privacy stuff going on out there just by the focus of being on the web. I'm sure all of you are aware of this, but I'm sure they're collecting all kinds of personal data. Now, this next video or this next link is awesome. Now, actually, I just, you know, I showed you guys that automatic trash can on the last show. I already got a notice from YouTube saying, hey, that's a copyright violation. We're going to run ads in your video. So I can't show any more videos off YouTube, even if I don't play the audio, because they know it. So this video that's over on fastcocreate.com is awesome. This is a video talking about Google Fiber. And so basically showing off the history of the internet via toy cars. And this is the must video to watch from the show today. I'll have this link up in the show notes. You got to go watch this. Those of you that have been involved in the internet since the dial-up days, you guys are going to laugh. You're going to love this. So definitely check it out. And again, I have the link up in the show notes at show notes, gncshownotes.com. And you're going to get an absolute kick out of this. Again, if you got comments today, geeknews@gmail.com. Send me a tweet at geeknews as well. Well, back in the 60s, when we were going to the moon, you know, astronauts planted some flags there. And they're saying that flags from the Apollo moon landings are still standing. Now, how they determined this is pretty incredible. They took images of each Apollo site, taken roughly same orientation, but with different sun angles to show the travel shadows, and that they show that these flags are still flying and held aloft by their poles. Now, there is only one site that doesn't show a flag that is up, because the astronauts knew it got knocked over when they when the LEM took off. But they basically looked at all these landing spots and said, yep, the flag is there. And they show some evidence. But scientists are pretty amazed. They thought by now that these things would be tore up based upon the ultraviolet rays and everything else that's hit it. They don't think there's any color probably left in them, but it's not like they're going to go back and see them. Except the Chinese may go. The Chinese aim to land a probe on the moon next year. And so maybe the Chinese will go over there and drive over to one of our landing spots. And if they have any, let's hope they just don't go over there and run it over. But the Chinese plan to land its first probe on the second half of next year. So we'll see. Maybe they're going to put a rover up there. Who knows? Maybe they're just going to put something that'll take image back of the, and then Earth shots. So we'll see where this goes. I don't know if they're thinking about taking spacewalkers back, but one thing's for sure, they're spending a lot of money on their space program right now, and I wouldn't be surprised. Okay, let's talk about what's happening at Yahoo. The new CEO, Marissa Meyer, has basically said, hey, free food for all Yahooligans. And so she's instituted a few changes. Among them are establishing a weekly all-hands meeting on Friday afternoon. That's going to make you mad. Every Friday, having an afternoon meeting at like 4:30, right around quitting time. So they're making all food in their URL cafes free. So that's cool. So she's borrowing some of these ideas from Google, obviously. And she's making major changes to the workspaces to make them more collaborative and cool. She's going to be improving the swag offered in its Yahoo stores. And she's also pushing to improve Yahoo's core products, of course, which is ultimately going to make money for the company if she succeeds. But she's definitely kicking butt and taking names. So we'll see where this leads. But definite changes afoot at Yahoo. I'm sure it makes the free food probably makes the accountants go, oh, they're already losing money. But hey, you get free food. That's a heck of a benefit. You think about the money you spend for lunch, even if you brown bag it. Let's say you brown bag every day. So you probably got $3 worth of food in your bag. But if you go eat, you know, even here in Hawaii, if I go to the cheapest place I can go for what we call plate lunch, it's still $5 or $6 to get food. And I'm sure there, the food is probably more. But $10 a day, 5 days a week, you know, that's an extra $200 in your pocket at the end of the month. Plus, what do you do when you have free food? You tell your colleagues, come on, let's go eat lunch together. And they go all eat lunch together. And guess what they do at lunch? They collaborate. They talk. They share ideas. They have a little refreshment. They get away from the cubicle. You know, I know a lot of people I talk to and they say, yeah, I just sit at my lunch. I sit at my desk and eat lunch. You know, that is not good for our brains. You got to get away from the PC and eat lunch away and talk and, you know, get your brain refired. So I think it's a great idea what she's doing. Now, the interim CEO, Levinson, has left, and this was expected. So he announced that he's leaving, and tomorrow is his last day. So we'll see if any of his henchmen go with him, but he's out, and this is not a big surprise. It probably got a very nice severance package, and I'm sure he will do well. All right, I want to take a few minutes, and I know I posted, and this has been all over the internets over the past couple of days, talking about NBC and the Olympics, and, you know, when my kids say, we don't need to watch it because I already know what happened on an event, you know, here in Hawaii, we're 6 hours behind the East Coast. We're 10 hours behind London. So when something happens, it's at least 10 hours before we get the broadcast here. Or, of course, I could go on the net and watch the streaming stuff. But my kids are like, forget it. Let's just watch a movie. So they are getting pummeled so bad in social media right now that they have become the story and not the Olympics. So it's pretty sad when NBC's decisions and the moves they're making have become the story versus the story being the Olympics. And I'm sorry, some of the folks that they have on there for commentators, they like need to like refresh and get some new people in there because I am not impressed. I'm sorry. It's just this, you know, this constant chat. I understand. But sometimes the competitions speak for themselves. Let us watch the competition and don't be, oh, she just missed this flip and she did this backwards. And wait till it's over and talk about it. Do it in replay, you know. It's just drives me crazy. On top of that, you know, what did they do on the Friday opening? Is they skipped a terror tribute. And, you know, what a way to slap the folks in the UK's face. You know, I just don't get it. I really don't understand their thought process. And even more, their technology, I guess they're having huge issues with technology being an issue. People texting too much. And what's going on now is the Olympic Committee's asking people, hey, limit your texting to essential texting and tweeting, because basically is the huge volume of text, tweets, and other traffic are clogging up other communications they're using the same wireless networks for to send position reports on bike races and this kind of stuff. So the wireless carriers have brought in a huge amount of capacity, but nowhere's near enough. And it's affecting people and it's affecting the actual technology you're using at the venues. Now, to top it all off, some journalist has been just like double barrel shotgun blasting NBC every day since the game started. And someone, he had posted a tweet and basically had the NBC chairman's work email address in it, and Twitter yanked his account after NBC complained. So you've got a journalist now who has basically been lost his account to Twitter. So, you know, NBC and Twitter have a relationship about the Olympics. So, you know, Twitter's doing NBC's bidding now. So if you are a journalist, you know, put your stuff on your blog and on your website and then link to it where people can't take it down. And so, you know, Twitter is not a place to do your reporting. I'm sorry. It just goes to show you, you know, you just can't trust these folks. These guys have business relationships, probably millions of dollars on the line. And when NBC says, hey, we got a problem with one guy, and by the way, he supposedly violated your policy by posting my email address, boom. You know, so one has to ask, is it about money in relationships? If it is, Twitter, to me, has stepped down a notch and lost a lot of credibility here over this. And, hasn't won him no brownie points. That's for sure. All right, let's switch gears here and let's talk a little bit about Mountain Lion. The folks over at Apple are saying that this is the most successful OS X release ever. And about 3 to 4 million people have downloaded the new operating system since its release. Of course, I ran into some trouble at Geek News Central. I have one laptop that basically did not want to upgrade. And I wrote a story about it on GNC. And finally, after multiple tries and doing two or three different things, I finally got the code to load and it's working fine. But there's been some people that the upgrade has not been as smooth as it should have been. Big move on Apple users' parts to update that Mountain Lion. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't feel like an upgrade. It really doesn't. There's not that noticeable differences in features. It just, it's unless I'm missing something, it really, to this point, to me, is pretty transparent on most of the stuff that is going on. And but I'm sure those of you that are diehard Apple users will probably have dug through all those new features that we talked about on the last show. But so far for me, it's been kind of, it was an update. All right, Microsoft SEC filing confirms Surface goes on sale in October. So apparently Microsoft announced that the Surface tablet will be available on October 26th. There is no pricing for this yet. So I'm wondering if they are basically watching the internets again to see what people are saying about the pricing and whether or not it will be where they should come in at. So time will tell on this one. How many of you sit in traffic every morning? I know when I take my kids to school, sometimes I sit in traffic. It sucks. But, you know, I've always wondered why, you know, cities cannot get their, you know, stuff more diverse. Here in Hawaii, where I live in Kapolei, they were supposed to be building a second city, but everyone that was in town working complained and fought. The unions basically resisted, and basically those folks don't have to come out and work in second city, so it didn't change any of the traffic dynamics. So there's some folks in California who are saying, hey, if we can get just 10% of the workforce to shift an hour or two, either way, up or down, we could really fix this traffic situation. And I agree, it would work here in Hawaii. Now, just keep the trucks off the road here in Hawaii from like 6 to 9, that would solve it too, because it seems like every doggone semi and trailer, they want to be on the move right first thing in the morning. Keep them off the road for at least 3 hours. Let them go the rest of the day, and it would really really improve things. But the study that was done, and said that really what they could do is really change the dynamics in the entire country by having just 10% of the workforce shift their working hours an hour or two either way, earlier or later. And I think many of us would rather go in earlier to work and get off a little earlier. That kind of makes sense to me. But then again, some people are not good morning people. Maybe they come in a little later. Does your work do flex hours? Are you allowed to have a flexible time to come in? Or do you have to be on a regimented schedule where you have to be in the office at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. or whatever the time may be? The switching topics here, Apple design chief Johnny Ive said, "We're not in for money. We want quality. We want fantastic products. We're pleased we get revenue, but that's not the focus. Our goal isn't to make money." Huh? He says he wants what? He says making products is at the heart of what drives the company. Okay, I can agree with that. But the money is going to keep you a job. So kind of an interesting comment he had to say at the British Embassy Creative Summit. So, you know, I think I know what he means. You build great products, people are going to buy them. It's going to inspire you to do more. But just seems kind of a, and I guess from the designer aspect, that's what he is. You know, it's all about the design. And you get to figure out the rest of the stuff with the software guys. But interesting. All right, Amazon versus Samsung jury selection has basically, the jury has been set. And this is going to be a mammoth trial, Apple versus Patsung case, that's happening in San Jose. And of the more than 70 potential jurors who filed into the courthouse this morning, a jury of 7 men and 3 women were selected. They include an electrical engineer, who worked in hard drives for 35 years, a homemaker, a construction worker, a young unemployed man, insurance agent, an ex-Navy avionics technician. That's what I was. But I'm not in Silicon Valley. A system engineer and a bike shop manager. They do not include one Apple employee and one Google employee who were in the initial pool from which the jurors were selected. The Apple employee ruled himself out, and the Google employee was rejected by the Apple attorneys. So we'll see what this gets going here, but this is a $2.5 billion damages case, and this should make for some interesting fireworks over the next couple of weeks as this thing goes through the process. This should not come as a surprise to any of you, but you know all this money that the folks got from the Pirate Bay folks that were convicted? They haven't taken a penny of that and give it to artists. They've taken all that money that they've gotten so far, and the IFPI is going to be using that to fund new anti-piracy campaigns instead of giving money to the artist. Along with that, the IFPI has got a little more egg on their face. There's been a leaked tutorial on how to stop pre-release music leaks. This is kind of an interesting read. It talks about what they do to catch people and how, you know, the tactics that they should use, and then how to prosecute, make the pain the worst. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Kind of interesting to look at their side of the playbook. Hey, remember about the strike that was going on? Well, BitTrackers ceased a strike after protocol improvements. A couple of weeks ago, of course, the Open BitTorrent and Public BitTorrent, the two largest BitTorrent trackers on the internet, went on strike. Of course, the trackers protested BitTorrent Incorporated's unresponsive to protocol improvement proposed by Pirate Bay co-founder Frederick Nietzsche. And soon after the news broke, the BitTorrent developers team sprung to action to address the issues. So uTorrent has been updated, and they're going to bring up those trackers in the next couple of days. I got to show those of you that are on the video, wait till you see this. You know, sometimes I can be a little compulsive, obsessive. I guess that's better words. I like to design stuff and really sometimes a little overthink it. But this PC has to be the most extreme PC I have ever seen in my entire life. This thing's got, just on the surface of being able to see it, 4, 8, 12, at least 16 fans that I can see in image number one. 17 fans. What computer needs 17 fans? This thing must sound like an airplane taking off. So anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes, but this thing is incredible. And if you look at the detail he's went into in designing this, I mean, wow, a lot of work. Completely rewired. It looks really slick. And this is, of course, a gaming machine. liquid cooled, and it's pretty impressive. But one thing's for sure, you don't need to have the lights on. This thing is, and this the case is mammoth. But yeah, you don't need to have the lights on. It's just this thing has enough lights in it to take care of all your lighting needs in your gaming room. All right, over on Ogizmo, guys, you're gonna love this. Wait to see, and don't be okay. Have you? Let me tell you a little story. Many years ago, and this was during my first marriage, my then wife came up to me and said, "Oh, I just gotta come here, look at this." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And she's got the Home Shopping Network on television. And there's these ceramic figurines, okay? She goes, "Look at those. Those are beautiful. Those are fantastic." She, you know, the price was decent. And she, "Can I buy them? Can I buy them?" And, you know, I'm not a big Home Network fan, but being the, you know, yes, you can. You know, why did you even ask me in the first place? Because you're going to do it already. And so when the package came, of course, on TV, they looked to be about this big, right? So when the package came, and when I'm, for those of you listening, I'm holding my hands about a foot apart. And when the package came, it was like a little 4x4 package, but maybe about an inch thick. So out came these figurines, and they were literally an inch and a half tall. She was so pissed. She could hardly contain herself. I think, I don't remember if she smashed them or what, but it wasn't pretty. So I'm going to give you guys some caution. I'm going to link to you some Tetris lamps. And I look at these and I'm like, "Oh, those are big. Those are cool." And I'm looking at the price and they're like $40 a piece. And, you know, I'm thinking they look like they're about a foot by foot. I'm thinking, man, those would be cool here in the studio. So, you know, I found this over at ogizmo.com. And so I just by happen to click on the product page. And when I clicked on the product page, there's some context here. These things are about 4x4. Instead of being a full, they look in the picture like they're about a, like 12 inches by 12 inches, but they're really maybe 4x4. So don't be deceived by the pictures here. $40 a piece is a little bit much for a little tiny light like this. They are cool. They'd make a nice table piece. Nice comments. I don't know if they run on battery or electricity, but anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you guys to check these out. And, but yeah, it was one of those things when I first saw it, I was like, "Wow, look at that. You know, that's cool." And I'm thinking, how many can I put in the back window back here? And you know, they're literally 4x4 for $40 each. I'm like, "Ugh, it ain't happening. It's not happening." All right, let's switch topics here a little bit, and let's talk. Oh, let me give you some space news. A Progress resupply ship is redocked at the ISS. They had a little bit of trouble out there. They're trying some new software, and they finally got it fixed. But the Japanese supply ship has docked as well. So we got all kinds of supplies going on at the International Space Station. But this specific Russian Progress supply ship has already been stuffed with trash, and it is due for to be depart today. So this is a little bit older news, a couple of days ago, but supposed to leave the station and basically burn up on reentry in the next couple of days. You know, for years, I've been talking to you guys about having an ace in a hole over at GoDaddy. And I can say today that the ace in a hole that I had over there was a gentleman by the name of Warren Alderman. And he has been the CEO now for about a year over at GoDaddy. So I was surprised to see his name today in the news where he's announced that he's stepping down as CEO of GoDaddy. And he's apparently going to remain with the company as a special advisor for strategy and global policy. So apparently he's going to be replaced on an interim basis by part of the company that has purchased GoDaddy. Is a member of what's called KKR Portfolio Operations Team. And Scott Wagner's been working with the company for the past year and helping on its international strategy. So in an interview with Domain Wire Today, GoDaddy founder and executive chairman Bob Parsons said Adam had decided it was time for a break. He decided he'd been working really hard, said Parsons. He's one of the reasons the transition went as well as it did. He decided it's time for me to start having some fun. And of course, those of you probably don't know it, but Bob Parsons is no longer basically involved in the day-to-day operations of GoDaddy. He's running his own chain of motorcycle dealerships in Arizona. But, you know, he's still, you know, Bob Parsons still involved with the company quite a bit, but some changes going on there at GoDaddy with the step down of Warren. And, you know, many of you that have had issues in the past, and those of you that have emailed me privately and said, hey, I've got a problem with GoDaddy. Warren's the guy who's been my go-to guy all these years. And, you know, I'd kind of kept that under my hat because I didn't, and I just wanted to make sure I respected that relationship. And now that he's stepped away as CEO, I'm going to have to blast him an email and say, hey, you know, who's going to be my go-to guy? Are you still it? Or who do I need to reach out to if we have issues in the past? Now, I do have access to their another system within their system that can help out as well. But sad to see Warren step down as CEO. I think he was making some great changes over at GoDaddy, changing the image a little bit, tweaking it. If you guys haven't noticed, and I think that image change was good as the company has grown up a little bit here. So many of you that have recently, switching gears, many of you that have recently bought a new MacBook, your massive complaints about this new MagSafe connector that they've got, the little smaller one, I guess it's being knocked out if you breathe on it. So people are saying this was not a smart move. A lot of unhappy customers, lots of complaints in the forums. So if you're having trouble, you know, basically people are saying buy the adapter and use your old connector with the adapter. And that seems to kind of fix the situation. But this new connector, apparently, if you just breathe on it, it falls off. Hey, do want to share, of course, what we did at our roundtable this past Saturday. And I hope that you guys will take a few moments and listen to this. This is an episode where Jeffrey from Geekazine.com talks about ID3 tags. And he goes into the importance of using ID3 tags as a content creator. And then I cover the updates of the Livestream Broadcaster along with an overview of Playback Pro, which is a pretty cool application for those of you that may be doing streaming stuff. And I talk about Amazon Flash Media Coder using it with the Mac. Which, as I've said, I've had to make an upgrade here to go to HD because the SD video just did not look so good. So kind of talk about some of those issues. Got a full 720p video there for you to watch. Hey, give us some feedback on that. If you have never watched that before, take a few minutes and do so. Okay, couple more articles over at Geek News Central. Of course, talking about our Saturday morning tech show being a solo show. And that was hopefully 1 week only, but it was a quick little 30-minute show. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you haven't watched it yet, of course, get subscribed to it and follow it. I'm actually surprised. That show has grown quite a bit, and we're getting a decent following over there to the point where you guys know I've added a sponsor to the show, largely because got to pay for the bandwidth, and it's definitely growing in the right direction. So definitely thank you guys for being subscribed to that. I appreciate it. I really do. But a couple of articles, again, talking about the OS X Mountain Lion application couldn't be verified and the issue with upgrading. So I have an article on that. And I also talk about the Mac Minis to the rescue. It's a little talk about the consolidation effort I've had going on really behind, right down in this area of the studio we don't get to see. But let me see if I can switch. Those of you that are on video, you'll notice that there used to be that laptop you could see right in this area here off of my left shoulder. It's now basically packed up, and we're basically that aging laptop is at this point probably going to be retired. But I do go into, let me load the right article here. I do go into the consolidation process and some of the reasoning, and it's hard to believe. If you'd have told me 5 years ago that this show would be down to just a few PCs. I'd have said you're crazy. So really what we're down to now is the TriCaster's running on Windows. The machine directly in front of me here that I drive basically all the show commentary from is running on Windows. So that's 1, 2. And then the audio recorder over here, which is basically, this is a dedicated machine from Sweetwater. I've had it in the studio since 2010. You know, its sole job in life is record audio. There's no other software loaded on this machine. It is its only job. And, you know, people ask me, how come you have a separate recorder for video and a separate recorder for audio? And I'll be honest with you, if you listen to the show, you'll understand why we do what we do. I've gotten recently a lot of accolades on the show quality. I do know that we kind of missed the mark on Saturday Morning Tech this past week. I over-amped it a little bit, but a lot of people are really, I've been getting a lot of emails in the last 6 months, basically clarifying and talking about the quality of the audio, and it's largely because of that machine. So we're really down to three, we're a three PC shop, and everything else is Mac now. Pretty incredible. It's quite the switch here, and we're definitely an equal opportunity computer user here at the Geek News Central show, and spend money on both sides of the camp, but to excess. Hangouts has come to Gmail and let you launch basically chit chats in there now. So if you want to check that out, you can do so. So that's a new feature. And there's a good article talking about how some artists are now starting to use YouTube in a variety of different places to sell music. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out as well. And there's a pretty cool interview with him on TuneCore, the TuneCore.com website, blog.TuneCore.com. I have a link to that. It talks about how he's sold over 500,000 songs. And that's pretty decent when you are the gatekeeper and you're getting the profit on that. Now, in a little bit of a I'm not surprised department, Time Warner Cable is ready for a conversation about rising costs, but not the one you want to have. Apparently, Time Warner Cable set up a site called Time Warner Cable Conversations, which they claim is a conversation with consumers about how to fight rising costs, except they really only want to talk about the rising costs caused by the TV network's charge to carry the channels. So if you want to talk about fighting the rising cost by arguing against broadband metering, well, tough. The whole site is moderated and limited, and it appears that only the conversation about TV networks and such are allowed. So they are controlling the message and don't plan to get to too many comments through otherwise. But it's interesting how companies want to have these conversations with us, but they want to narrowly focus that conversation to use it to their advantage, and then they take that commentary and use that in contract negotiations, and then the next thing you know, they raise your rates because you participated. Now, Anonymous is a group that obviously you don't want to piss off. But a French t-shirt company is trying to trademark the Anonymous logo. What do they want to do? They want to make t-shirts out of the Anonymous logo. Do these guys want their business destroyed? If they have a website, it won't last for long if this goes through. This is, are you just like, do you like to take gasoline and just pour it on your, are these guys insane? Do they know what these folks are capable of? What does their motto say? We are legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us. They say that in their logo. And these guys, these idiots, want to trademark their logo and make t-shirts and make a profit off it and not give Anonymous a cut. Incredible. You know, and I know there's a lot of, this is switching to health topic. You know, I know there's a lot of controversy about stem cells, but the FDA has won a right in court to regulate adult stem cell treatments. Now, we're not talking about stem cells from fetuses or anything like that. We're talking about stem cells that come from us as adults being used to regenerate and use in treatments. Now, there's a lot of stuff out there that's kind of on the edge, but it seems like anytime there is a stem cell discussion, people lose their minds. And, you know, I'm just going to, and I'm not going to talk about, you know, the whole geopolitical church slash all that stuff. But the FDA wants to regulate adult stem cell treatment. And again, this is stem cells made from a patient's own processed stem cells, not from fetuses or anything like that. And basically, a judge has said that stem cells are a drug. Your own stem cells reprocessed are now a drug. So, it just sometimes makes you go, doesn't it? And over in the Los Angeles Times, a startup has said 80% of its Facebook ad clicks came from bots. The company said they built their own tracking system, and they determined that a large percentage of the things that clicked on their ads did not have Java loaded. Now, here's a little secret. About 97% of browsers and people that come to websites have Java loaded. So when at least 80% of the clicks resulted from devices or a system that did not have Java loaded, it makes people say, bot, because bots don't need Java. Browsers do. So the company's basically pulling out of Facebook saying, hey, this is it. We're done. And they're not calling them that they've been cheated, but they're saying, here's what we found. And about 80% of the clicks Facebook was charging us for, JavaScript wasn't on. And if the person clicking the ad doesn't have JavaScript, it's very difficult for an analytics service to verify the click. What's important here is that in all of our years of experience, only about 1% to 2% of people coming to us have JavaScript disabled. That's why I said, even on Geek News Central, 97, 98%. So they are not happy. And they spent about $2,000, and they didn't say they got cheated, but they're also saying they're not doing no more ads on Facebook. All right, more news out of these router botnets. Please be aware here. And this is going to get ugly before it's all over. So right now, make sure you have basically go into your router, make sure you have it set so you cannot log from it externally. Okay. In other words, somewhere on the web, getting into it, log in. That's going to tame some of the issues. But right now, Netgear models WGR 614, WNDR 3700, WNR 1000, and Linksys models, WRT120N, TrendNet W651BR, and TEW652BRP, and D-Links DIR601, and Belkin's F5D7230-4 can be hacked. I have the link up in the show notes. You need to check your routers, folks. And if you have a router that's affected, please read this article. If there's firmware updates for your router, get them, install them. Make sure you have them locked down. You're not using the default password. If not, you're going to be owned in a big way. And matter of fact, if you've had an open router at this point and it's one of those models, I'd throw it in the trash, go get a different one. I'm serious. So don't, and this list could grow, but make sure you don't allow people to log into your router externally from outside of your personal website or personal home network. Also, if Mac does what they normally do, those of you that have Snow Leopard probably will not be getting many more updates. Make sure you grab your updates if you have machines that are still running Snow Leopard. I have one machine that can't be upgraded beyond Snow Leopard. So, you know, basically I'll basically firewall that one in so it can only do certain things, but, just be aware of that. Okay. They haven't said it yet, but if tradition follows through, Snow Leopard will no longer be supported with new security updates. All right, didn't take long here. South Korea has arrested phone firm KT Corp hacking suspects. Two men suspected of accessing details illegally of 8.7 million users of South Korea's largest fixed-line phone operator have been arrested. The hackers made an estimated 1 billion won, that's about $877,000, from the sale, and kind of hard to hide that kind of money. So they're in the slammer, and I'm sure they'll be facing prosecution. All right, let me go ahead and load up the email comments so we can get into that. I did okay on catching up on time, covered a lot of ground here, and got an email from Richard. He said, "Hey, Todd, I know you travel a lot, but do you pack ATX or micro ATX desktop towers or just laptops? It's surprisingly hard to find a backpack with a few inches in width that would fit a medium-sized tower. Backpacking backpacks work, but are too tall. If you or a listener knows of something, it would be appreciated. Keep the good work. We're listening for about 3 years now, Richard." Richard, why are you humping a server, dude? I want to know why you're doing that. So please email me back and tell me why you want to hump a micro ATX desktop tower. You're humping a monitor and keyboard and everything too? I carry two laptops and I thought that was extreme. So just email me back. But if anyone knows of a backpack that would carry one of these ATXs or micro ATX desktop, let me know. Got an email from Emma Smallbiz. "Hey Todd, check these images from a backyard astronomer that match NASA images. Staring at the sun, backyard astronomer captures the beauty of the solar system using only a webcam and a home telescope." So this is pretty cool. And I have the link up in the show notes for that. Oh, I got a call today and I apologize if this was missed on the last show, but let me play this and then we'll go back to the emails. But this is from a listener, and here we go.
Todd, hi. This is Clint calling from Houston, Texas.
Hey, Clint.
I have a question for the general geek community out there. With the advent of tablets, how many of us out there are finding that a tablet is more useful than a smartphone? And how many of us out there are considering or have considered and have successfully shifted use from their smartphone to the tablet and then getting a phone that's not such a smartphone, but a phone that allows them to maybe tether their tablet to, have a phone that you, for more basic functions, uses a tablet for a majority of email and web browsing, whatever else you would ordinarily have done with a cell phone? This might be a good survey question. Have a great day. I'm enjoying the show. Bye-bye.
Hey, Clint, good question. And I'll be honest with you. When my wife, she uses her iPad exclusively, and then she has basically my second-gen iPhone, which she doesn't have the data turned on. It's basically been jailbroken. It's got a T-Mobile card in it. So she has turned on the Wi-Fi sharing, and basically whenever she needs to do something on her phone, she does it that way. But she also complains that having the Wi-Fi on the iPad burns her battery. I see a lot of people using their tablets a lot more, and I don't know. It hasn't affected me. I still have a time and place to use my smartphone. I don't know. Maybe other audience members do. But I definitely leverage the Wi-Fi bandwidth off my iPad. And I do that when I'm usually mobile. And when I can plug it in and I'm not worried about burning the battery on the iPad. And I've got it in the charger, essentially. I use it that way. And especially if I'm getting close on bandwidth, I'll do that a lot. But thanks for your call. Maybe we'll get some more feedback from the audience member. You guys can call in just like Clint did to the show by dialing the hotline at 619-342-7365. Those of you that are overseas, the U.S. country code is 1. So plus 1-619-342-7365. And don't forget, if you're the certain caller, if you're actually caller number 10, you'll win something on the next show. So we'll see if that fires up the old Geek News Central hotline. And let me go ahead and make sure that we've got everything covered. You know, one thing I posted on, so I'm starting to see, and this is completely non-tech related, so let me just kind of talk about this real quick and then we'll get everyone out of here. But I'm just starting to see a lot of vile, I guess that's the best word to describe it, on Facebook, on Google Plus about the election. And that's, you know, it's July and people are already like flipping out. And when were we not able to have a discourse? Right? When did it start that we could no longer talk to one another about things, where it turns into this vile conversation and, you know, almost like petty flaming? You know, people would not talk to one another like that in person. You know, here in Hawaii, it's an interesting dynamic. You know, it's because if you say the wrong thing, you've got like 10 or 15 people in a room that are hardcore one political party or the other. So, you know, it's one of those things you have to watch even more than anywhere else because of the way Hawaii is structured. And I'm seeing stuff online that just blows me away what people would say and online, and I doubt they would ever say it in public. And I like to have a discourse with people about stuff. And, you know, we try to, you know, through email, get feedback on the show. And, you know, so we do this on a tech site. I try to leave politics as much as possible on, you know, outside the door. It doesn't need to come into the show. But from a personal perspective, when I'm on Google Plus and Facebook, I see stuff and I just cringe. And either right or left, I don't want to deal with people that can't have an adult conversation. It's always got to be this over-the-top, radical, it's my way or the highway type things. We really, if we're going to get this country back on track, we got to work together. You know, right or left, it doesn't matter. You know, this, we got a lot of work to do, and it doesn't matter. You know, whoever wins election, wins the election, it's, you know, mute point. And people got to start talking. It just, that is, doesn't exist anymore. And it's just, it's what is it? And I know this is probably an off topic for another time, but are you guys just kind of like, oh, I don't know. I guess I am. And so I want to start uncircling people and unfriending people on Facebook. I just can't handle that negativity. If we want to have a discussion, cool. You know, have a discussion, but don't just be like this, you know, don't shotgun blast someone because they said something, and, you know, bring an argument to the table and have a debate. You know, that's one thing I learned in high school. I did a debate team for a couple of years and, you know, learned to debate, did some government stuff where I actually did mock trials, that kind of stuff. When you do that, you're going to, you know, you learn to have discourse. And my grandfather always played devil's advocate. He'd always take the opposite side on something, no matter what. And then it didn't matter if he believed what, if you knew in your heart that he believed what you were saying, he always took the other side just to have a discussion, you know? And I don't think we have enough of that. Try that sometime at home, you know? If your family's all on one side of the fence, try to play devil's advocate and see what happens. Could be very heated and very fun, but it's a discourse. It's conversation. It's not going to get nasty. But anyway, I digress. Geeknews@gmail.com. Show hotline is 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you this show. We appreciate all of you that have become insiders and are supporting the show monetarily. It's greatly appreciated. If you're supporting the sponsors straight up, that's cool too. We thank you for that as well. And definitely helps me keep the lights on here and keeps me employed in doing Geek News Central and all the great things that we do and taking care of our writers as well. So we want to thank you so much for being here and being part of the family. We'll see you next time. I'll be in the part of the Ohana. Take care and aloha.